Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, and welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Eric Clayton Evans.
And tonight our topic is, you can't get right, still doing wrong. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen?
Amen. Our Father and our God, once again, it's a privilege, Father God, to be using your service, Heavenly Father. And we ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that we just let you have free reign, Father God, in the spirit, Father God. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that you speak through us and in us, Father God, as we try to touch the hearts of those, dear Heavenly Father, that have it here to hear for the Spirit is saying tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And again, tonight our topic is Can't Get Right, Still Doing Wrong. We will be discussing how often we continue to do the same wrong things to each other in our relationship instead of changing the things that do not work. We all have outdated survival skills and defense mechanisms that we have always operated in, inadvertently also keeping us from being able to operate in love. When we address what we are doing that is wrong, we get the chance to communicate effectively the impact of our wrongdoings on our relations with others. Change is essential when we are learning to operate in love, but if we do not address what we are doing wrong, we will not have the chance to get right, and therefore will not be able to learn to operate in love as God ordained. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight we're coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and we're coming out of the Message Bible tonight, and the word is, I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus, our master. I put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. The word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen. Amen. And this title, You Can't Get Right, Still Doing Wrong, definitely applies to us. We do have some experience with this. And thinking about what the Word of God said, when he said, he used the word must. He said we must get along with each other. And it's real hard to get along with each other when we continue to hurt and harm each other. And one of the things that I definitely learned in learning from my own mistakes that was done in my marriage is that I could not continue to be the same person doing the same thing and expecting some different results. A lot of my problem was my mouth, I admit. You know, we have to be real careful of things that we put out in the atmosphere when we're talking to each other. And even our tone of voice, a manner of speaking. Sometimes we try to talk with such authority and maliciousness that even if we were saying something that made sense or was correct, the tone and the intent would take away from that. And I know that, you know, we suffered a lot when we used foul language, you know. When I remember you called me bitter, and you know, I got upset about that, but I'll never forget that because I understand today what that means, and you were so correct at the time because I was bitter. And until I actually got a chance to look at the root of that bitterness, which was not you, was not our relationship, it wasn't the things that were going on in the marriage, it was some things that had happened prior to me getting here that I brought into the marriage that still was contained inside of me and eventually swell up and burst, you know, into that outrage. And, you know, when we hear our loved ones telling us things that can help us, learn more about ourselves. Even if we do feel like we're going to get offended by it, you said love is not easily offended, we should take into consideration why that person is saying that, or what is it in my character or my temperament or personality that would make a person say things like that, because usually it's an identification that could be an issue that could easily be resolved if I become willing to change. Amen?
I don't know. The interesting topic tonight. Because I believe that with me, it was more or less trying to establish a marriage relationship using basically the same old mentality or mindset, you know, not really understanding what it was to be a husband, wanting to be married, in love with the idea of being married, but really not knowing what marriage was all about. I knew that there was the responsibility of taking care of the bills and making sure we had a place to stay and things of that nature. But once we got in the house, how to make it a home, you know, how to make it where I was, you know, taking the lead and nurturing the family and being a father as well as being a husband. And those things seem to have failed, you know. And that was one of my things, too. I didn't want to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I didn't know how to move forward and be successful in, you know, being a husband and a father. A lot of people say there is no book to parenting, really. You know, it's something we try to emulate from our parents. But coming from a dysfunctional family, that's all I had to deal with was that dysfunction. And that's what I operated in. Doing the same old thing and thinking that I was going to get some good results out of it, which didn't happen. Somebody told me years ago, you know, never say what you never won't do or what you ain't going to do or things of that nature. And my thing was that I didn't want to be like my father. And I believe that's who I turned out to be. Very disconnected. Didn't have much emotion when it came to trying to do things. And because he never, you know, really played with us, he never really interacted with us as a father. He was very domineering, you know, very authoritative in his approach to us as his children. So I really didn't have anything to work with, you know, as far as that emotion, as far as being a father, or I try to play, you know. But I really basically was just going through mechanics and never really making that connection, you know. And I think I lost that without my children, you know. So that was a problem. And that was something that I had to really pray about because, you know, being a father is so key now in the lives of children. And they need a strong father figure, you know. If not, then they're going to look for it somewhere else. You know, they're going to look for someone to mentor them and teach them and, you know, mold them and shape them for their future. You know, and I think we look for teachers and coaches and, you know, folks like that to try to fill that void, and it doesn't work because it wasn't meant to work that way. So I didn't set it up that way. So it's hard and it's painful, you know, to not really receive that love from the child that you need as a father, so you know how it is for that child because they don't feel that connection. So they try to get it somewhere else.
I think that for women it's the same way too, because we need a strong man in our lives. And I know that the more headstrong the woman is, the more strength that she needs her man to have. I was talking to a female before about how, you know, I look at it as the cat and the mouse. You know, if you ever seen a cat and a mouse, even in a cartoon, they pawing the mouse, you know, back and forth. The cat is playing, but he pawing the mouse so much that the mouse is dying, you know. And when the mouse loses all the little energy from running, trying to get away from all this pawing, the cat gets up and just walks away because there's no strength left in the mouse. And you have some women that they don't realize that, you know, you can emotionally castrate a man and put him in a position where you've taken everything out of him, you know, where he just don't want to do this anymore, you know. And we could take this same behavior from relationship to relationship and wonder why have long-lasting relationships. You know, because I know that in my relationship, like when you was talking about, you know, me being bitter, I know I had taken that in all my relationships with everybody. I was always the mean one. You know, I always talked to men like they didn't have good sense, you know, treated them like they didn't have good sense, and, you know, and then get up and leave, you know, after, you know, beat everything up out of them, you know, now you don't want them no more, you know. Or you find the ones that will try to do everything for you, and instead of recognizing him as a good man, you look at him like he's a punk or a sucker. Yeah, a weak man. Yeah. You know, and I think that guys have to understand that when a woman is trying to do that, it's really time for them to pump up, you know, whatever level of testosterone they need, you know, pull up the whole guard in them to let a woman know that there is still, like we were talking about before, the position that we have to be in. You know, you can't be the head of your household, woman, if there's a man in the house. You know, let that man, allow yourself, not let that man, but allow yourself to be in the position where you understand that there is a head of the house and it's not you. Right. You know, we have to learn how to trust you with decisions, you know, trust you with care for us, you know, because I know that if I had not been so afraid of allowing you to parent, you know, William, I would have probably seen some differences, you know, in the circumstances that came forth, you know, if some of the things that if we had been able to talk about it and understand a little bit more about each other like we do now. Because a lot of times people go into marriages, you know, like we did, not knowing each other, you know, falling madly in bed, getting married, and then trying to get to know each other. But then instead of trying to really get to know each other, we just basically looking at each other's faults. But if we had been able to come together and talk about your background, and I talk about my background, and we could look at some of these issues that we had never really dealt with, you know, growing up or in other relationships, that we could have came forth as one and started dealing with these issues and came to a different place, because it made a big difference. It made a real big difference now when we look at it, because now we can look back and see all the mistakes that we made, and all the mistakes that we had made, we don't want to make them anymore. And we try harder not to do that.
Right. It's hard to try to change in mid-stride, you know what I'm saying? So many things were said and done that really damaged our relationship, you know, and it hurt. It hurt the family.
Mm-hmm.
It really did, you know. Some scars run so deep that they're really hard to heal. You know, and it takes the love of God to help us to come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the name calling and it was just so much damage that was done. But it was such an urgency, you know, for this love walk to be a part of our life, you know, to help us heal for one, mm-hmm. and, you know, to help us to really understand, you know, how much we really need each other, mm-hmm. you know. And it was a love of God to help us to stay together and to really be able to sit down and have a dialogue like this, you know, to understand and identify the areas that were broken and torn up and things of that nature so that healing process could begin, you know. And we're still healing from some things.
That's right.
You know, and I'm just thankful that, you know, that God opened up our eyes to see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, how much damage we were doing to each other. Because once you get to that point of no return, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to come back, you know. But I thank God for hope, you know, that hope that, you know, if we just stayed together long enough and had a forgiving heart, you know, and stopped taking the inventories, you know, stopped hurting because we were hurt, so we wanted to hurt back, you know, those things that continue to sabotage the relationship, you know, and start using more kindness for one another, you know. Our days are just so much better, you know, when we leave each other or when we come home to receive each other. It's just so much better, but there's still so much work left to be done, you know. And being a willing participant in that process helps us to, you know, not stay stuck in the same place, you know, but to be able to be accessible, you know, and know that I'm not perfect. You know, I need your input to help me to understand those areas in my life where I'm still not quite where I need to be, you know, and vice versa.
Vice versa.
So, you know, that's where that 3-4 core comes in, mm-hmm. you know, to help us, you know, and fall down, we're there to pick each other up, you know, and encourage one another and still learn how to live, you know, because being alone is not what this is all about. You know? Having my own separate mindset of wanting to do things the way I want to do it without sitting down, discussing it with you, because it affects all of us. You know, like I tell William all the time, you know, when something happens, you know, to one of us, it happens to all of us. It's that ripple effect. It affects not only us, but those that are connected to us, you know, because there are other people that love us and look at us and pray for us and want to see us succeed. You know, everybody ain't against us.
That's
there's
right.
some folks out there that love us and want to see us succeed. So we can't stay stuck in the same place, you know, trying the right thing to do for the right reason and all for us to be able to be successful as a family, you know. So, and that's what we lean on God's word for, that wisdom and understanding, so that we can make those right choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we can continue on as one.
Yeah, it is very important, because doing the wrong thing has never worked. It has never worked. And like I was saying, you know, we bring in those outdated survival skills. You know, we put up those defense mechanisms, what we have to learn in our relationship to love each other the way that God wants us to love each other, is that we don't need that. We find out that we do not need those defenses. I don't need to walk around with my defense up, you know. I don't need to have survival skills here, you know. I need to be able to learn not to live by default, you know. There's no set way that this is going to go every day. There's no set plan that's going to work out exactly the way that I think it is. So I have to be mindful that I'm living one day at a time with you, 1 minute at a time with you. You know, I'm watching, I'm praying, but I'm keeping my eyes open, but I'm not watching for, you know, I'm not walking around like the enemy lurking to devour you, you know.
Right, watch for me to make a mistake.
Not watching for your
so
mistake.
You can throw that up in my
right,
face.
Right, you know, exactly.
And my day begins with submitting my day and my will to God.
Amen.
You know, so he could direct my path, you know. People say that you need to make plans in life, and to a degree that's true,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I look to God to help me to plan my day, you know, to help me with my thoughts and my decisions, you know, because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. You know, if I had it all together, you know, then I figure that if I had it my way, we'd be a lot better off than where we are, you know. But to a certain degree, I can only do so much, you know. But God can do it all. You know, this all belongs to him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So why not let him lead and guide me and direct my path, you know. Because he keeps my spirit calm. He keeps me in being in his shadow, you know. Helps me to be able to move in the direction that he would have me to move. And I'm not leaning on my own understanding because I did that before in the beginning, you know. And it was a disaster. I mean, I made a mess of everything, you know, and thought I was doing good.
And mad because I thought that you wasn't.
You know. And
you remember that? You get up there when I used to see those things.
Yeah, I used to trip up a lot of times, you know. But
and that's something.
But
that
to open up myself, but to open up myself to the point where you know we have a walk together, you know, decisions that need to be made, need to be discussed, they need to be talked about. The plans that we plan together,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we'll be on one accord.
And when plans change,
that
we have to bring that
we
up,
have to
too.
Bring that up, too.
You know, as soon as the plan changes, you know, one of my things I say, you know, give me the script, you
right,
know.
Right.
You got the script, but give me the script, because if I don't have the script, then my expectations are still the same.
Right.
And mine need to change when the plans change.
Right.
Because
right,
that's
right.
why a lot of people yeah. get hurt, because and they think that people are lying, you know, they can't trust you, because if your plans change and you don't let anybody know your plans change, but you go ahead on and carry them out, or expect for the other person to be a part of the new plan, you know, it causes more disarray and disruption.
I think some men do that and expect, you know, everybody to just fall in and follow suit
mm-hmm.
because I'm the head.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, this is my decision, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really, you know, having a loving attitude or being in that position of headship. You know, because it's more of a dictator type thing, you know. I know that everything is not a democracy.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, everybody should be a part of it, because that way, like this phrase that I coined here lately, you know, teamwork makes the dream work,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if we go about it that way, everybody's on the same sheet of music. You know, if anything does come up, then everyone's aware of what's going on. You know, even like a while back, you know, you had a project going on with some different people, you know, but the thing never did come to fruition because nobody communicated what was going on.
Right.
Everybody was up in their own head about what they wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
but nothing was getting done.
Right.
You know, and that's the same way in the home. You know, if I'm up in my head doing stuff and not letting you know about it and executing it without letting you be a part of it, you wonder what's going on. What in the world are you doing? You know? So it doesn't come together at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the division there.
Yeah.
You know. So that includes, you know, our son. You know, he needs to be part of the plan too, because he's a part of the family.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes we just have to, you know, everybody needs to see the vision. and all the things for the vision to work. Because if you up in your head with doing whatever it is that you feel like is best for the family, you know, and the family don't know what you're doing, then how is it the best for the family? You know, it seems like to me that that's still being selfish, you know, because you're not letting anyone else participate in what it is that you're trying to do.
And you have to look at, too, you know, we were going through all the stuff that we were going through. As jacked up as it was, the baby was a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even have a choice in the matter.
You know,
he got to see some things and feel some things. So even with the process of bringing it back together, we still have to include being able to meet those needs of where we left him off at, too. You know, because one of the things that I noticed in our relationship is that we do have each other, you know, to bounce things off of. You know, we have to know that he's here in his house with us alone. He's the only child here. You know, and as he grows and tries to handle his emotions his own way, we still have to be supportive enough to know that a lot of things that he's going through and a lot of things that he feels, it's because of us. It's because of our mismanagement and bad stewardship over him. You know, and I look at his little emotions and things like, I know right now, you know, he's still suffering in school, you know, he's still got some social problems, you know. All of those things, we have to monitor those things and look at how can we help him? How can we make things better for him? Because we got to keep him a part of the growth on this love walk that we have with each other. He's a part of that, too. And it's real important that families don't forget the children. Don't forget that they suffer the same way we do, you know, whether it's through divorce, separation, you know, isolation, you know, chaos, or whatever is going on in the home, the kids have some effects from that. They are affected by that.
I'm seeing the results of that, you know, with my own daughter, you know, and how she is really trying to, you know, trying to bridge that gap and trying to understand why, you know, things are the way they are in her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know every family has some dysfunction, but, you know, I know that God is the answer.
God is always the answer, and the lesson is always love.
You know, we have to love them, and we have to love them, you know, through their hurt, through their pain, through their disappointments, through all of it. You know, mm-hmm. we have to love them with a strong love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and be truthful and honest, and allow them to know, you know, our struggles.
Right.
You know, because we're grown, you know, something that we all say that we couldn't wait to get.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother set.
But being grown and being mature is two different
things. It's a whole nother set of circumstances that go with maturity and being an adult. You know, and we do make mistakes along the way. You know, we try not to make the same mistakes. That's what this topic is about. You know, trying to right those wrongs. Be right to keep from being wrong.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed talking with you this evening.
Powerful topic.
Prayers out. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we just thank you for this time together, Father God. And we just pray and ask, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts in these matters, dear Heavenly Father, and lead us and guide us in the way, dear Heavenly Father, to help us to learn to walk and live in love, Father God. Not just love for ourselves, but love for one another, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. For joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. Just remember that no matter the situation, circumstances, or problems,